Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances. I'm John Schaefer. My guest today is the British singer, composer, and actress Ebony Bones. She makes a kind of wide-angled cinematic music that draws on everything from punk to Afrofuturism to orchestral music. Her newest album, called Nephilim, comes out on July 20th, and it tackles big ideas with a big sound. In fact, she has filled our studio with musicians today. We're going to help her play some songs from this forthcoming album. The first song is called O Leopold. Here with us once again, live on Soundcheck, is Ebony Bones. Song is called O Leopold. It's music from Ebony Bones from her forthcoming new album called Nephilim. And it's been a few years, Ebony. It's great to have you back with
us. Thanks for having me back,
Soundcheck.
John. How are you?
I really love this record.
Thank you.
There are, as I said in the introduction, some big ideas at play here, which has me wondering who the Leopold of this. I keep calling it a song. It's more of an incantation than an actual song.
Right, yeah.
Who is Leopold?
Well, the song was inspired by the Belgian king.
I thought maybe it was.
Who
basically ruled
the
Belgian Congo as his own personal fiefdom.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the album was recorded in Beijing, New York, and London, and it's a real honor to play it here today.
Well, it was recorded in part in Beijing with the Beijing Philharmonic.
That's
now,
correct.
That's not the first time you've, you know, used an orchestra in, in writing your music. So when that happens, are you doing the orchestration as well as...
I sent them my scores and my arrangements to see if they would be interested in the collaboration. I'd just finished doing some work alongside Yoko Ono on her last album. And my previous album featured the Mumbai Philharmonic,
right, right.
And we went to India for that. So it was really nice when they agreed to the collaboration. I flew over to Beijing last year, And it was very exciting.
Yeah.
And equally exciting to be playing it here with these fantastic musicians today.
Yeah, let me introduce the rest of the band. Of course, Ebony Bones on vocals, backed up by Kelsey Warren and Leah King. A string quartet comprised of Rigson Collins and Benjamin Sutton on violins, Karen Waltuck on viola, Brian Sanders on cello. The brass section includes Omar L. on trumpet, Mark Nagy on trombone, and Jessica Stanley playing the tuba, Nikki Adams behind the keyboards, and Peter Barr behind the drum kit. And so this is a big ensemble.
A little bit bigger than last time.
Yeah, a little bit. Although last time, even though it was just three of you, you made a big noise.
We did, yeah.
So it seems like the album is about our time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about the rise of nationalism.
That's right.
The sort of the closing of borders, mm-hmm, after a period where it seemed like maybe we were being more open-minded, mm-hmm, and open-hearted.
Yeah.
Was this kind of a response to Brexit in the UK?
Most definitely. I mean, the album does explore the emergence of nationalism post-Trump, post-Brexit. And I think xenophobia alongside fear of foreigners and immigrants was very much in support of Brexit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of created a very hostile environment for immigrants, not only in the US, but in the UK as well.
Well, and recently in the UK, we've seen the so-called Windrush scandal.
Right. Now, as a granddaughter of the Windrush generation, it was very ironic, after writing the song No Black in the Union Jack, that the situation only a few weeks ago transpired where many British nationals were being deported back to the Caribbean after, you know, over a decade of paying tax and being invited to London,
right,
and the UK.
So the Windrush generation,
that's
named
right,
after one of the ships that brought people from,
correct,
the Caribbean colonies. They had been invited to come to the UK and
to
live there.
To help rebuild,
right,
after the UK
the war.
After the Second World War, yeah.
And some of them had papers. Many of them did not, as it turns
many
out.
Many of the papers were lost, yes,
yeah,
conveniently.
So that's been a bit of a rough go. But, you know, we've seen this kind of, you don't want to say that they're dominoes falling, because that's a metaphor that has gotten us into trouble in the past. But, you know, Hungary and Poland, and, mm-hmm, and you know, you see nationalist parties taking over other countries in the EU, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so this seems to be very much on your mind, and yet, not for the first time for you, you have drawn on biblical imagery.
That's
so
right.
The Nephilim. Explain who the Nephilim are in the Bible.
Well, the album also explores themes of censorship, and that was very much an inspiration for recording in China alongside the Beijing Philharmonic. But not just the kind of obvious kind of censorship as we see there, the more insidious kind in the West, and the way it manifests itself over here. So who gets to speak? Who doesn't get to speak?
Right.
Who gets their art exhibited into a museum? We see such a low percentage of females that are currently exhibited in museums today. And, you know, thinking of censorship in a broader sense. And it does draw on a lot of different themes. And I think I was very inspired by what was happening in society. And I think some of the best music does create conversation and reflect on what is happening around us.
Yeah. And so the Nephilim in the Bible, mm-hmm, they're
mythological creatures, yeah, who were censored from the Christian Bible by the Roman Empire.
Right. So it's a kind of metaphor for what's happening, what you see happening as a woman of color in the arts world, making,
right,
your own way as a producer.
Yes.
As
and
well.
And it,
as
it explores different themes of censorship, yep, in that, for example, is religious censorship.
Mm-hmm. Now, the title track, Nephilim, we get to hear... Actually, we hear the theme several times during the course of the record.
Right.
There's an introductory kind of brass fanfare,
that's
called,
right,
The Watchers.
Yeah.
Then we get Nephilim, which the song which you're about to do. And then later we get the Nephilim instrumental.
Yes.
So it seems like there are musical threads woven, yes, through the record as well as these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like a conscious, you know, decision, or did you just find
it? It became a conscious decision. it was amazing just kind of recording in different parts of the world. You kind of pick up different energies where you are. And the album took on a completely different turn when I came to New York and did recordings there. And we had the amazing Lonnie Youngblood, who collaborated with Jimi Hendrix and James Brown, playing horns for us as well. So there's lots of different inspirations thrown throughout the album. But yeah, there is a thread that runs throughout.
Well, the piece Nephilim, the one you're going to do next, is the title track. And as I say, it's not the first time you've used biblical imagery. Mm-hmm. Last time you were here was for the album Behold a Pale Horse,
yes.
You know, from Book of Revelations, Bone of My Bones, mm-hmm. your first record. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the piece that we heard to introduce this session was Bone of My Bones Part 2.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a kind of a thread casting backwards to your earlier work here as well.
I think sometimes using biblical metaphors for political issues has been an inspiration from the very beginning for me.
Yeah. Well, certainly, I mean, a lot of reggae was built around that idea.
Exactly, yeah. And as a Caribbean, I sort of wear that badge quite proudly.
All right. Well, let's hear another performance from Ebony Bones and her ensemble. Nephilim comes out on July 20th. Here is Ebony Bones with the title track now from the album Nephilim.
My slave.
That is Ebony Bones and her band live in the Soundcheck studio. That's the title track from her forthcoming album called Nephilim. The term refers to, in the book of Genesis, they're a race of giants. They were supposed to be the kind of the outcome of either angels or sometimes fallen angels mating with human women. And,
right.
And as you say...
Well, actually, it's from a book that was taken out of the canon of the Bible by the Roman Empire, and that was the Book of Enoch. So that's the theme of censorship that's also running throughout that, which intrigued me when I found out.
I mean, there's actually been quite a lot that's been taken out of the Bible over the years, like Lilith, mm-hmm. Adam's first wife.
Right.
Before Eve, there was Lilith.
Is that what the Lilith Festival's named after?
I don't think so.
All right, okay.
I don't think so, but...
Still waiting for my invite.
Well, there is, you were talking before about, you know, being from a Caribbean family mm-hmm. and wearing that sort of reggae badge proudly. This album, while it is almost all your original music, mm-hmm. there is one exception.
There is one exception, and there is a cover by the Bones Youth Choir of Police and Thieves, which mm-hmm. is a favorite of mine. That's originally by Junior Mervin and Lee Scratch Perry.
Right. And some people from a later generation will know it from The Clash.
Yeah. And I love both versions.
Yeah. But your version is like, it's this kind of dreamy yet unsettling, very slow, almost dirge-like production.
Yeah.
And it's not the only time on the record where you, Ebony, mm-hmm. are not sort of like front and center. I mean, mm-hmm. nobody who knows you or is watching you now on Facebook could ever mistake you for a shrinking violet. But on
you'd
this,
be surprised.
On this album, there are several tracks that mm-hmm. are either instrumental or where your voice is not the voice
well,
that we're
drawn
to.
Well, being the composer and the producer and songwriter of all the songs, I didn't necessarily feel I had to be vocal on all these mm-hmm. tracks as well. And there are some beautiful orchestral pieces played by the Beijing Philharmonic, such as Truth and Treason.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover that we just discussed of Police and Thieves featuring the Bones Youth Choir. And that was a slight nod also to the previous album, where we had a cover of the Smiths' What Difference Does It Make by the London Youth Choir.
Mm-hmm.
So children have such a youthful optimism about them. It's something, you know, a huge energy that sometimes we lose as adults. And it's nice to have that flowing through the album.
Yeah. Tackling, as you do on this record, such big and dark themes, did you find you needed a little jolt of youthful optimism at some point?
Yeah, I think it's nice to have children present throughout songs. And for some reason, for a lot of themes of my songs, from I See, I Say to the cover of The Smiths, children seem to play a huge role. And I guess they are the next generation, so they should have a lot of focus on them.
Yeah. Now, it is possible for someone to listen to most of Nephilim mm-hmm. and just enjoy the music.
Most definitely.
The music is amazing.
Thank you so much.
The band sounds good. Who conducts the orchestra? Is it their regular?
In Beijing, they had a conductor there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Their regular conductor.
Yeah. And I had a translator.
Uh-huh. Although words like Allegro and Adagio seem to be universal.
Right, yeah. And they were fantastic. It was such an honor. China has boasts some of the most amazing classical musicians, as you know. It was a real honor to collaborate with them.
So, as I was saying, you know, you could listen to most of the record and not get the message, mm-hmm. quote unquote, and, you know, just enjoy it for the music. However, there are a couple of tracks where the message is like right in your face. There's a really ugly track called This Used to Be a Lovely Country.
Right.
Which is basically kind of found sound of the most kind of, I wouldn't even say pernicious, it's just like obvious racism.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you find that? And what was the idea in putting that kind of centrally in the record?
Sure. I mean, I think even the title, This Used to Be a Lovely Country, we hear this constantly going on in this theme of nationalism, whether it's make whatever great again or this used to be.
Yeah.
I growing up, I always questioned that. I found a soundbite from a wonderful film. And Yes, it kind of encompassed exactly what the song following that, which was called No Black in the Union Jack, was about.
Right. Now, that's the song you're going to do next. Mm-hmm. And on the record, there is another vocal sample, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing is Enoch Powell.
That's correct. The British Parliament member,
Enoch Powell. In the 60s, did his infamous racist rant that has come to be known as the Rivers of Blood speech.
Yes.
Is that clip actually from that speech?
The clip in the song is actually from the speech. That's correct.
Wow.
And that was the Rivers of Blood speech was made in 1968. So 2018 marks its 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. During Brexit, you kind of, even though I think it was banned at the time as hate speech, around Brexit time, you kind of heard it flowing around again, and it surfaced its ugly head. And particularly with recent events with anti-immigration, it's definitely taken center stage. And this year marks its 50th anniversary.
Right. Many Americans might have heard of the speech without actually ever hearing it.
Sure. So it was warning that if Britain didn't do something about their immigration, that the UK would end up much like America.
Wow. Well, that is just all kinds of wrong on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. But here we are, 50 years later.
Right.
And the problem is still a problem in both the UK and the US.
Right,
and,
yes.
And around Europe. It's an awful lot to tackle in a 3 or 4 minute song. Mm-hmm. But in a live performance, you don't use the Enoch Powell clip,
right? We haven't got the clip of Enoch today,
yeah.
But we're looking forward to playing Brooklyn Bowl for WNYC. So maybe Enoch will join us for that. Who knows?
I'm not sure he's invited. But Ebony Bones certainly is. The album is called Nephilim, and this really is one of the kind of the key tracks on the record. The title is pretty much self-explanatory. Let's hear a live performance of No Black in the Union Jack.
Send them back. send him back. Send him back. No black in the Union Jack. Send him back. Send him back. No black in the Union Jack. Send him back. Send him back.
No Black in the Union Jack is the name of the song. Ebony Bones wrote it, and she and her band just played it live for us here in the Soundcheck studio. It'll be on the album called Nephilim, which is out on July 20th. The track on the record, as we said, had that bit from Enoch Powell, but it also has a lot of things where, you know, Britain first, the red, white, and blue. I mean, any American will recognize that rhetoric because we're hearing so much of it these days.
Yeah.
And to think that that's now half a century gone and that we're still kind of stuck in the same cycle is a fairly depressing observation to make.
It is. But, you know, I think it was important for me to be authentic in venting that through the music and the art. And it was very therapeutic.
So is this an optimistic record?
I believe so. I think the track, particularly featuring the children, and ending with a song like Bone of My Bones on the album, people will feel a lot of hope.
Well, I hope it does well for you because it's a really terrific record.
Thank you.
Beautifully produced, and I know you do your own production.
That's
a point of pride for you.
Yes.
in a field where women are scarce still.
A huge deficit, yes.
Yeah. Nephilim is the record, out on July 20th. Ebony, great to see you again.
Thanks
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, John. Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.